There were three streams of knowledge that seemed to converge around the middle of the 20th century. One was the obvious issue of the development of modern cardiology with diagnosis of heart attacks. And that had been preceded by pathological observations of the fatty arteries in certain populations and their absence in others, and even by a little experimental pathology in which they had begun to feed human diets to rabbits, for example, and produce lesions that looked like humans. All that started early in the century. So that background was there, the ability to diagnose cases of heart attacks. The electrocardiogram came along at the turn of the century. Then, just before, during, and after World War II, the vital statistics on causes of death began to do some funny jumping around. It went up steadily before the war, the heart attack deaths. Most people attributed that to improved recognition of heart attacks, but it might have been real. During the war in several countries, Germany and Scandinavia, the rates plunged, heart attacks virtually disappeared. Now, most physicians are very skeptical of these data about reports of causes of death. But there was one gentleman that had a different idea, Håkon Malmros, in Malmö, Sweden, at the University of Lund. He figured that in neutral Sweden, medical life had gone on as always. The training was the same, the fads were the same, the diagnostic fads. There was no real change in medical customs or education during the war. So these vast and dramatic precipitous falls in coronary death rates and their equally dramatic rise after the privations of World War II were over probably meant something. And he was a biologically, biochemically trained internist and interested in nutrition. He sort of put it all together in 1950 and wrote an article and showed that of many things that changed, that the intake of dairy fats and egg and meat fats changed dramatically, and that it pretty much coincided with the change in heart attacks and fatty artery diseases found in the clinics. Ansel saw this article in 1950 and he really was very impressed with that. He invited Malmros over here in the early 50s. Meanwhile, Ansel had become aware of this after the war from something as simple and obvious as newspaper reports of what appeared to be almost an epidemic of coronary deaths in 40, 50, 60-year-old men, the leaders of the community in Minnesota. And he and Minnesota colleagues were more or less prepared for this. They had just finished wartime work sponsored by the government in which they had developed the K-ration, but they had also studied in conditions of semi-starvation and stress a number of conscientious objectors and found that the characteristics of humans that we thought were constitutional and fixed were quite changeable. The endomorphs became ectomorphs, the cholesterol went down, the blood pressure went down. Fixed things were changed by simple change in environment and custom and diet. They developed this idea of the change possible in human biology. This, combined with the newspaper reports, set him on the trail. And he began to talk in the late 40s already about lifestyle having something to do with heart attack epidemic. The first major talk on this was the Chicago Heart Association in 1948, when he had that article. He organized the first cohort study to follow a group of some 500 men, 300 age 50 and 200 younger, called the Minnesota Business and Professional Men Study. He organized that in 47, a year before the famous Framingham study started. So he was already thinking in terms of human characteristics and their change and the influence might have on epidemic heart attack. When The Biology of Human Starvation was published, he was ready for sabbatical. And he and Margaret took a Fulbright at Oxford, where he had been invited by a very interesting man, Hugh Sinclair, who was interested in nutrition and health. In the middle of that sabbatical, he was invited to chair the Food and Agriculture organization, FAO, new branch of WHO, meeting. While everybody else was talking about deficiency diseases and effects of starvation and the war and so forth, he was talking about the new epidemic of heart attacks and its relationship to what he called excess or overnutrition. And these old line nutritionists weren't very interested. One of them, professor of physiology, Gino Bergami from Naples, said, well, we don't have any coronaries to speak of in our culture in Naples. And Ansel thought about that for a while, and then he wrote Bergami when the weather got even nastier in Oxford. Bergami says, come down and see for yourself. So that's what he did. He got in his Hillman and he drove with one of their children and Margaret to Naples, and Margaret set up a chemistry lab in the Naples physiology department, and they started examining populations in a rather informal way. Always Ansel was looking for contrasting cultures. He wasn't sophisticated about sampling at all. So he compared the workers in the street with the bankers and professors, and it fitted his beginning theories rather well. The bankers and professor had the same levels of cholesterol as the executives he had begun to examine in the Twin Cities. And the workers had much lower levels, and their diets were correspondingly different in fats. Got on fire, began looking for other cultural contrasts, went to Madrid, did the same thing, comparing clerical and working and executive populations, professional populations, found the same thing. Was invited to Southern Africa by someone who'd heard him talk about this at FAO. And there they had the marvelous natural experiment where they compared the Cape colored with the Bantu, with the Europeans, showing classic differences in disease rates and in cholesterol levels and in diet. By this time he had invited Paul Dudley White, who was a great dean of international cardiologists, to join him. Paul White was had an active curiosity, traveled around the world, a major diplomat, and he was very interested in this. He went to Japan with Ansel. They did the same thing, comparing social classes there, found the same thing. And they compared the Japanese in Japan with the Japanese in Los Angeles, and saw that the cholesterol levels were different, corresponding to their diet. This was a situation in the early 50s. He gave a talk on this to a group of physicians in Amsterdam in 1952, totally rejected. Stuff and nonsense. Wounded. I gave the same talk 3 weeks later in Mount Sinai in New York. They went wild. Franz Boas, famous anthropologist, his son had a department. He was working for Ed Epstein. They were already comparing Italian and Jewish garment workers and already had this idea too. So they became disciples, and Ansel was encouraged by that. He was invited to Finland the next year, 53. When he came back from that, I met him, and he was talking about this search for the Holy Grail. I had an international family. I'd been in Europe 4 years. This sounded better than practicing internal medicine to me, so I joined in. And 54 was planning. 55 was a famous meeting where Ansel really got slapped down, the first group of experts at Geneva and the new World Health Organization. And Ansel presented his, by this time, well-formulated hypothesis of diet, lipids, and heart disease. And a very distinguished British cardiologist, Sir George Pickering, said something like this. Very well, Professor Keyes, would you be so kind as to tell us, what is the single most significant piece of evidence you've adduced to support this diet-heart hypothesis of yours? Ansel is very sharp, but he's not a debater. And George Pickering was chairman of the Oxford debating team at one time. And Ansel fell right into the trap, and he cited a piece of evidence, and George just cut him off at the knees, and the other men did. It's easy to destroy any single piece of evidence. Instead of presenting the whole picture, the whole body of evidence that pointed to this idea. By that time, Ansel was too late to to jump into the fore, and Ansel was really stung and slunk out. I have a chapter in my current memoir about, and we'll have in the history, a chapter on mistakes and missed boats and wrong boats and sunken boats and how people recover from these mistakes. And Ansel always recovered by planning the best study you could possibly do to demonstrate the issue at hand. And he started planning seven country study. 56 and 57, he was planning it, getting money, and doing pilot studies in southern Italy and Finland and Crete. And in 58, we were ready to go. And that's when the film starts, with the first major formal survey on the Dalmatian coast, in which we were comparing the diets and lifestyle of these meridional peoples living on this fabulous coast, but short of water, short of soil, high vegetable fat diets, very active physically, with the men of the interior along the Hungarian border, who were rich, wealthy kulaks of the communist period, with big herds of pig and goats and geese, and that's where the story began.